Thank you, Kobe, for reading that for us this morning. It's always encouraging to see young men ready, able, and prepared to participate in the services. Let us, as a congregation, continue to pray for our young people as they continue to allow God to use them for his service. Good morning, South Fayette. Good morning to all six of you who said good morning. This year is moving right along. It's already February, and again, we are on our second lesson for this month for our 2023 theme titled Grace. And I am so grateful to be able to share this with you all, this series of lessons this year on the title Grace. Before we begin, though, I want all of our visitors who are visiting with us this morning to know that we are excited to have you visiting with us this morning. We are always excited to have those who would like to spend time with us in the Word of God. And so anytime you have an opportunity to do so, it is our prayer that you spend time with us. And to the saints here, let us continue to stay focused, keeping our eyes fixed on the cross, fixed on Jesus, loving one another as Christ has commanded us to, right? Having a zeal and a desire for God's word. Let us understand the grace that is so graciously given to us. And no matter what, through the pitfalls, through the ups and downs, and having a mind to work as we work through this, know that Jesus loves you, and so do I, and there's nothing you can do about that. Last month, we talked about God grace, like God milk, God grace. And there we learned that grace is available to all. This means that every single person can receive grace. It doesn't matter who you are. It is available to you. No matter where you come from, what you've been through, grace is available to you. One of the most important things I want you to understand is that it's God's grace and not ours to give or to take. Jesus died on the cross for every single one of us. Amen? And it reads in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God had appeared, bringing salvation to all men. In this morning's reading, we see grace mentioned five times and a free gift mentioned five times. And it seems to me that God wants us to pay close attention to know and to understand his free gift of grace. A gift of grace is a beautiful thing. As a matter of fact, a gift itself is a beautiful thing. As a matter of fact, a free gift is even better. Because there's nothing wrong with you going out buying yourself something, right? But it's nothing like somebody giving you something that you do want and you do desire, and it's free. Speaking of gifting, in my household, my sweet, beautiful kids continue to give their father and their mother a gift that keeps on giving. Headaches, runny nose, itchy eyes, sore throat, backache, coughing, can't sleep, restlessness. Sounds like a medicine commercial. But Dee and I seem to stay sick because my kids just keep on giving that wonderful gift of sickness. But unlike our gift that comes and goes, the free gift of grace, saints, is from God, and it has staying power. So this morning, just for a little while, about an hour, let's talk about grace through the lenses of adoption. Let's talk about grace through the lens of adoption, the act of God adopting us into sonship through Christ Jesus. I think the centrality of our adoption by the Father into a relationship with Him as our Heavenly Father cannot be overstated. I need for us to understand it cannot be overstated. It is the ultimate purpose of God's electing love, His goal in predestination, the crowning effect of Christ's work on the cross and His resurrection, and the reason we are justified in Christ. Adoption is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges as sons and daughters of God. The word adoption means the placement of a son to one whom it does not naturally belong. So by law, the adopted person has the same privileges, the same benefits, position and responsibilities, as well as obligation as the natural born son, not playing second fiddle ever. And just like earthly adoption, it is an act of God's bringing us into His family, to those who weren't naturally His, and legally making them to be just like His son. It is where we are brought into a new family, right? And totally, right, divested of our belonging to our former family. God totally changes who we are and what we get. Understanding that in our salvation, saints, we are adopted into God's family. And we get to enjoy a father-child relationship with God. And it is the foundational for Christian living. Perhaps one of the strongest passages in Scripture dealing with the doctrine of adoption is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. Romans chapter 8. If you have your electronic devices or your Bibles, you can turn with me there. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. And the infallible word of God says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, for you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This passage of affirms the idea that in our salvation, we are adopted into God's family as an act of His grace. Now, make no mistake, adoption is an important theme in the Bible. Some of the most faithful people listed in Scripture were adopted. I want to show you a few examples. You remember Moses? He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Hannah gives Samuel to Eli to be adopted into Eli's family. Mordecai adopts Esther. Joseph adopts Jesus. And what about God adopting the nation of Israel? If you have never met someone who was adopted, beloved, all you have to do is look in the mirror. Adoption is a family idea, conceived in terms of love and viewing God as Father. So in adoption, God takes us into His family and fellowships with us, and He establishes us as His children and heirs. Now, closeness, affection, and generosity are at the heart of the relationship. Now, to be right with God, the judge, is a great thing. Understand that. To be right with Him, it's a great thing. But to be loved and cared by Him, God the Father, is so much greater. It is so much greater. So let us turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 14. for us to learn why adoption is important. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chooses us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mysteries of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The Apostle Paul drew an illustration for us for the Roman law of adoption. The modern laws of adoption were based on this very serious legal act before the principal Roman magistrates. Now, this enabled a person to take into his own family a child that was not his own, with the intent of treating the child as his own with the privileges and responsibility of the new family. Now, this is very important and a very important law because the adopted child now has all the rights of a legitimate son in his new family, and at the same time absolutely loses all rights and responsibility to his old family. He was treated like a new person. He got a new father. He became an heir to his father's estate, right? He was inalienably co-heir with the other sons in the family. And in law, the old life was completely wiped out. All debts were canceled. And he was absolutely the son of the new father. The Apostle Paul tells us also that this is what God has done for us. This is how he treats the believer in Jesus Christ. We have been completely released of all the responsibility and the debts of sin because Jesus paid the full debt for us all. We now have a new position before God with all legal rights. So the question is, when does adoption take place? When does adoption take place? Well, the answer is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. God chose you before he ever created the world. I want that to sink in. While the world was formless and the world was empty, darkness was all over the surface of the deep. According to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, God knew you before you were even born. And I want you to know the poetic truth of the King James Version of Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto nations. I think many times in my sermons, what I try to do is I try to use we a lot. I try to use us and our to indicate that I'm included in this. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm not just encouraging you. I'm trying to encourage me. But today, I want to make sure that this is personal for each and every one of you to understand how important it is for us to understand grace. The grace of God is beautiful. The grace of God is mighty. That the grace of God is something that we should not take for granted because it changes things. God was thinking of you and me before he created light. God was thinking of you and me before he divided the waters and created the land. God was thinking of you and me before he made a diversity of plants and animals. God was thinking of you before he created everything. This shows us how important every one of us is to God. And let me just say, there is never a need for a plan B when you have God plan A. Second thing I want to address is, why is adoption necessary? Right? Why is adoption necessary? Well, here's why adoption is necessary. Because in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." It is absolutely necessary because if you don't understand grace through adoption, one preacher said it this way: we were all on our way to hell. We were without God, without hope in the world. We were lost, spiritually dead, totally unable to save ourselves, filthy with sin, guilty through and through, condemned to eternal death. The righteous judge pronounced the sentence against us according to his perfect law, and all that waited for us was to be cast into hell. But there is something that I like about my God. There's something that's beautiful about the God that we serve. My favorite thing is, but then. No matter what you've gone through, but then. No matter the hurt, no matter the pain, but then. I don't know about you, but I like but then, because it reminds me of the books and movies that come on, right, where the villain is running amok. He's tearing everything up, and we're trying to figure out where the superhero is. When is he going to come and save the day? And just when it seems that there's no hope for the city, the world is going to end because it's being taken over by aliens or this crazy villain, a superhero swoops in and saves the day. Well, I want you to know that we have a supervillain who's been running amok in your life, in this world, and all around us. But we have a superhero named Jesus the Christ, our Savior God. He said, "I will send my only begotten Son to come in with one great transaction, who not only causes the judge who condemns us to declare us not guilty, but he also causes the judge who condemned us to adopt us and make us his own." And I don't know about you, but that ought to bring you some joy. That ought to give you hope, knowing that what you truly deserved, you did not receive because of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. This is what indescribable grace, saints, looks like. It is God's infinite mercy. The Apostle Paul, John, marvels at this in his first epistle. He says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." I think another reason why we were adopted, when you look back at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." But here's the part that I like. The love of God the Father for you is so overwhelming that in your place, he gave over his son to suffer and die. At the end of this, it says, foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. But he adds something at the end. In love. It was because of love that we did not receive what we were owed. It was because of love that we have this extension of mercy and grace. It's because of love that we even have an opportunity to get to heaven. It's because of love. And the how of our adoption is wholly and entirely because of God's will through the Son and the love that was shown. And the why of the adoption is because of this love. The Father loves you so much that he sacrificed his Son, and the sum of who God is love. One of the patterns in Ephesians chapter 1 is that you repeatedly read in him and in Christ. You repeatedly read that. The pattern is slightly altered when we see the words at the end of verse 4, in love, right? In love, God predestined your adoption. It was because of love that he predestined your adoption. It's because of love that we are sons and daughters and heirs to the throne. And again, when we read when, but we also see the why, right? Why were we adopted? Because God loves you. The point reinforced at the end of verse 6 says, he has blessed us in the beloved. It literally says that God's adopted children have been blessed with heavenly things and the beloved one. The beloved one is Jesus the Christ. Here's something that I thought about that struck me. You remember the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 31. Jesus tells us that the father sees the son in a distance. And I looked at that. The father sees the son in a distance. Why does the father see the son in the distance? Because he was looking for him. He was looking for him. It just didn't so happen to go out and see him, and then they met up. No, he was looking. He was looking for him. The father wants to bring the son back to his family, and he was looking to do so. Our father is looking for us. He's looking, he's waiting for us to understand, because it is by his grace that we are part of his family. And let that sink in for a moment. It's grace that we have. He's looking and waiting for us. Do you know what you have through adoption? Do you truly understand what you have because you've been adopted into God's family, the privileges you have? For one thing, we come under the comfort and care of our God now that we are sons and daughters. Right? And it's under his godly providence. And upon this adoption, the believer is not left to fend for himself. You know, my father is one of the most intelligent but not so smart people that I know. And I'm simply talking about faith-based, where his faith lies. A very, very intelligent man. He always, you know, has these little you know, quirky things that he says, but they always, you know, stick. They have always stuck with me. Like, one of the things he always used to say, that if a man doesn't have a watch, he doesn't have a place to be. Or he'll say, that makes as much sense as a horse ran a wristwatch. He has all these little quirky sayings. But one thing that he used to say to me all the time, being his son, he says, I don't understand why you walk around acting like an orphan. I go, acting like an orphan. I mean, I'm with you. I'm here at the house acting like an orphan. You're acting like you don't have a father. A father you can call on. A father you can talk to about anything. A father who will be willing to die for you. A father who will do any and everything to make sure that you are safe and you are doing the right thing. I say it there to say this. We sometimes walk around like we're orphans and we don't have a father. But we absolutely have a father who has adopted us. His fatherly providence comforts us. It offers us care in a world, right, that says that they will promise to do this or that, but they don't deliver. He always has delivered. Jesus taught us not to worry about the things of tomorrow, what you will eat, what you will wear, because he knows your needs. He knows your cares. He knows everything you're going through. He knows your struggle. He knows the tears that you cry. He knows the battle of the mind that you go through. He knows about all of these things. He will take care of us. And being in his family, another privilege that we don't take much, a lot of advantage of, is prayer. You can pray. You can tell him everything you need, everything you're going through. And it's not only a privilege, but it's a responsibility that we need to be mindful of. We must stop thinking and living as people who are spiritually bankrupt. We are spiritually rich in Christ. And it is because of his grace. And yes, we will have woes in this life. I'm not saying that at all, right? You're going to go through some horrible things. I'm looking at everybody's eyes. You're going to go through some hard times in your life. But hear me clearly. That should not be the theme of your life. Because you're going through some, most people make that the theme of their life. Every time you see them, something's wrong. They can never talk about joy. They can never talk about the goodness of God. They can never say anything that God has done to help them overcome. Because that has become the theme of their life. If you got grace, you got God, and you have the potential to spend eternity with him, and the theme of your life is the woes of your problems? I hope that that will sink into your hearts this morning. That we should no longer allow our problems to be the theme of our life. God's love, his mercy, his grace, his unmerited favor, everything that he's done for us, sending his son down on the cross for our sins, ought to be the theme of our lives. And finally, as spiritual adopted children of God, what's waiting for God's children? What is waiting for God's children? We have a wonderful inheritance that awaits us. When we become sons and daughters, we have said yes to God, and then we are adopted by him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, we learn that God is about unity. He's about being unified. There's unity between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God wants this unity for all creation. And this unity of creation is then brought under the authority and the sonship of Christ. Look what Ephesians chapter 1, 11 through 14 says. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Yes, to God adopting us by opening our hearts and allowing Jesus to come in. That's when we are adopted. You and I, and everyone ever born, it just didn't happen. There are no incidents of birth here. God's infinite grace was ready and waiting because the price for redemption had been paid in full at Calvary. For anyone who has ever been adopted, know this. Never allow anyone to tell you you're second string. God had a plan for your life before you arrived, and he has a plan for your life when you leave. How this world sees things is not the way God does. You are and have always been important to God. You are a gift to your family, and they are a gift to you from God. I wanted to make that clear so that if anybody has been adopted, that I understand that I'm not being insensitive of that. That's an important thing, but know that you are special. You are no different than anybody else. But I want to leave you all with a few practical effects as I close of the grace through adoption. Grace through adoption gives us a powerful view of the depths of God's love and grace and should therefore produce love. It should produce praise and gratitude in us. It should also challenge us to live as children of the King. When you truly understand this, it should give you confidence in dealing with our God. When you understand the grace, it will continue to encourage you in times of suffering. When you understand the grace, it breaks down the barriers among Christians and our brothers and sisters in Christ. When you understand grace and the love of God, it gives you hope and assurance for the future. If you're here this morning and you're looking for a family, God is looking for you to be adopted into his. You have an opportunity to not only come to him, but change your life and live for him. And watch how everything in your life changes. I didn't say watch how there will be no challenges. I said watch how everything in your life changes. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you live, the way you interact with people. Because God, you truly understand the grace and the love of God. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, and maybe you are struggling with some things, you can get right back with God because he's looking for you. He's waiting on you. But make no mistake, tomorrow's not promised. You have an opportunity today to put Christ on in baptism, to rededicate your life, asking for the prayers of the church if you're struggling and battling with things. If you publicly sin, you need to make that known and make that right. And start living for God because he died for you. If that's on your heart this morning and you desire to make a change and truly be a part of God's family, you can do so this morning as together we stand and we sing.